I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. I'm your host, William Liu of Yahoo Sports Canada. And on this week's episode of the Raptors Recap, I have Yahoo Sports NBA reporter, Sirat Sohi.
How's it going? Well?
It's going well. We were just talking about Kawhi and whether or not he will stay. Obviously, that is the one question that we could literally do a podcast on every week. We could save it for a little bit later, but I think right now everyone's focused on the playoffs. And to me, like, I feel pretty confident in the team, and it got reinforced more so when I saw a picture of the starting five get tweeted out. Now, it's like one of those things where, like, you remember when the Raptors first made this playoff run in 2014 and all the iterations of the team they had, and it was just like looking at Marc Gasol standing beside Pascal, standing beside Kawhi and Danny Green and Kyle Lowry, and then it reminded me of this picture of, like, it's like an iconic Raptors picture, but there's, like, Kyle Lowry sitting beside DeMar DeRozan, sitting beside Terrence Ross, sitting beside JV, and Amir Johnson's walking past the bench. And I'm thinking, like, that is such a different team than what we had compared to in previous runs. So, I mean, I just, where do you stand with this current iteration of the team?
Better than that former iteration, for sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it definitely does speak to the evolution of the team, which has been very incremental. It's been little move, obviously then a very big move in trading for Kawhi, but, you know, I was thinking about this actually when I was thinking about potential playoff matchups, is that every single potential opponent has a revenge factor.
Ooh.
Obviously, there's Dwayne Casey and the Pistons. Then with the Magic, you've got Terrence Ross.
Okay. And then, DJ Augustine.
Of course.
Can't forget DJ. About DJ. I mean, he got cut because he couldn't beat out, like, Dwight Bikes and Julian Stone.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he turned it around.
He always does. Yeah. I mean, DJ Augustine is one of those players where I think somebody should do a deep dive on him and just kind of figure out why he manages to somehow be effective despite all signs pointing to the fact that he should not be effective. But he plays on pretty much every team he's ever been on. And, you know, I think maybe it's just a testament to being a reasonably smart point guard and not making mistakes. Anyway, enough DJ Augustine talk, but, you know, with the Nets, you have Damari Carroll as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
It just kind of speaks to the fact that the Raptors have had to shed a lot of layers to become the team that they've become, and that's kind of the story of this era of Raptors, like, I guess the Raptors under Masai Ujiri is just kind of being, like, not okay with the way that things stand as they are, so you're getting rid of this guy, or getting rid of that guy, or getting rid of DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think one of the reasons why that picture of, like, 2014, that first playoff run, versus 2019 now, it's like, if you look, just compare position by position, it felt like, you know, at that time, 2014, you're thinking, like, DeMar DeRozan's, like, okay, wow, he's actually, like, a productive, positive NBA player now, and you're hoping, like, can he get to the point where he's a superstar wing like Kawhi Leonard? And then you look at Terrence Ross, and you're like, you know, he has some talents, but can he just be a 3-and-D guy like Danny Green? And, like, you look at JV, and at the time, I think there was that hope that the Raptors really wanted Marc Gasol. It was like Marc Gasol was the white whale.
Yeah.
You know, no pun intended. But, I mean, like, it was like, hopefully that, like, JV could be the next, like... No, Marc Gasol's very slim. He looks great. But he does love watching whales. That's super adorable. Yeah, apparently he wants to take his kids to go watch whales, which is...
He just didn't watch Blackfish, did he?
No. Yeah. Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, it was the hope that, like, JV would become, you know, next great skilled European big man who could pass, who can shoot, who could play defense, like a Marc Gasol. And, you know, even Amir Johnson, who I think served this role well, but, like, it was like, can he be more than a hustle player? Kind of like, you know, Pascal. And even Kyle Lowry is, like, he's changed a lot. You know, like, who he was in 2014 is not who he is now. And we'll talk more about Kyle on this podcast, but it just really strikes me that this team is super different than it. So I feel like, is it really fair to sort of carry the same baggage for this team on this playoff run? Because obviously there's a lot of baggage with the Raptors at all times.
It is hard to say.
Okay.
I do think that it's different only because Kawhi brings such a different energy to this team. It's something that they haven't really experienced before. Obviously, somebody that has a championship pedigree has won a finals MVP. I think Danny Green brings a lot of that too. And Marc Gasol has been in a lot of battles, and he hasn't won a championship, but he's been on a team that has consistently outperformed what they're supposed to do and is really built to thrive in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. and had a very fearless demeanor in, like, the grit and grind Memphis Grizzlies. Those were teams that historically, you know, kind of, well, they beat up on Raptors East. They beat up on the Clippers,
yeah,
right?
They
so
did.
There is a...
Wow.
I think that there's definitely a different dynamic to this team. Nick Nurse is a very different head coach than Dwayne Casey is in that regard. You know, they're not chasing the one seed. They're prioritizing the long game. The thing that I consistently have been thinking about recently is I think about the difference between these Raptors and last year's Raptors is the way that Casey was so desperate to win his 60th game.
Yeah,
that would just, yeah. That's just like, we're not, there's no regular season franchise records to beat anymore. I mean, mm-hmm. there are, but that's just not a priority. That's not something that
right.
I think about. Nobody is trying to make the regular season their crowning achievement. Not that that's what Casey was trying to do. I mean, I understand why he wanted to win Coach of the Year. He's had a long and distinguished career and has had, to be honest, not been given the recognition that he deserves. So
yep.
you see why he would chase it. But this team is different in mm-hmm. that regard, right? And DeMar was kind of that way, where he felt like he was constantly slighted.
Yep.
And I think that that kind of got in their way sometimes. Whereas these guys are just way more confident, I think, in who they are, because the world sees them for what they really are. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes a long way. I think it gives the Raptors a lot more confidence. And I think that hopefully it will bear itself out in the playoffs. The Raptors lose in the final or don't make it to the finals. I think it will be because of matchup driven basketball reasons,
right.
not
right.
because they got in their own heads.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that point about getting in their own heads, like, part of why I think a lot of Raptors fans have this sort of baggage with the playoffs is because, like, you just see the team lose year after year by like 30 points. Right. And it's like, you know, getting blocked by a 36-year-old Paul Pierce, and then the next year you're getting swept by 37-year-old Paul Pierce, and then the next year, you know, LeBron is, I mean, like the series won 6 games, but it was like Cleveland won that thing by like at least 100 points.
Well, what did LeBron say? Like, I've been in adverse yeah. situations in my career. Oh, this was not an adverse situation.
LeBron was just like,
God, that was just a spike to the heart. Like,
I mean, he just kept delivering those spikes, man.
Yeah, he did.
2017, I mean, like, kind of the same result. And even last year, it was, like, even more of the same, right? So, you know, I think with this group, I'm, like, really confident that, like, if anything else, like, if they do get beat, they'll get beat. But they won't necessarily sort of just, like, seize up in the moment and stop being able mm-hmm. to perform, right? These are guys who, as you mentioned, like, they're veterans. They've gone to the finals in some cases. I mean, like, even Serge Ibaka, who, like, obviously last year had a really, really terrible, forgettable playoff run. But even he's had a lot of, like, huge playoff moments. I remember, like, that OKC Spurs, like, battle to get out of 2014. Like, if Ibaka wasn't hurt for, like, two of those games, I don't know. Maybe mm-hmm. OKC goes to the finals. And if OKC goes to the finals, maybe they beat the Heat. I'm not really sure. And, of course, that changes the legacy of Kawhi and Danny Green and this latest chapter of the Spurs. But, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is that, like, because the players are very different, I'm also very... different in terms of I'm more willing to give the team like confidence going to the playoffs. And for me, like, someone asked me this yesterday about like how confident on a scale of 1 to 10 am I about the Raptors heading into the playoffs, and I think I said like 8.5.
mm-hmm.
So I wanted to see what out of 10 where would you say the Raptors are confidence wise
where the Raptors are confidence wise
or where you are confidence wise
okay.
with the Raptors?
I think the Raptors are very, very good confidence wise right now. I think they've had some really strong wins. I think their starting lineup just looks incredible right now. For me, I'm gonna try not to cop out of this So I was going to say that my confidence in them performing up to their expectations is very high. It's probably a 10. I think they will.
Wow.
I think they will do the best that they can do. It's just, you know, there's so much riding on this season. And I don't think that this is a team that channels that in the wrong ways anymore.
Right.
My confidence about them making it to the finals, it's still pretty high. I'd say it's probably around an 8.
Wow. Okay.
Just because it's, I mean, the process of elimination, you know, the Bucks are, they're
right.
really trying to do this for the first time. They're a little bit banged up. It's hard to come back in the playoffs. We saw it last year with Fred trying to come back
mm-hmm.
in the middle of a playoff series. It's different. It's not like just,
right.
you know, missing 2 weeks and sort of working your way back in. So they're going to be dealing with that with Brogdon and Mirotić. And it's also just, you know, when push comes to shove, if it's going to come down to whether Giannis can continue to dunk on playoff defenses. And if he can't, which historically, you know, I don't want to pit history against Giannis, right? Because he's such a revolutionary player that he's kind of fit to break the molds that have worked before. Like, he's not necessarily Ben Simmons, but if he is, I love Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
I think Chris Middleton is better than DeMar DeRozan, okay. but I don't think that he's a...
We can now say that in Toronto now.
Right, I have to say, because, you know, I think the entire city of Toronto hates him, but Ben Golliver is a close friend of mine.
Okay.
And he ended up being right. But, you know, Chris Middleton is not going to be the guy that... I don't think he's going to be the guy that shoots you to the NBA Finals, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. And look, I do think, like, the Bucks, like... you know, like, Bud is, like, they do deserve a ton of credit, right? Because mm-hmm. Bud has, like, done such a great job with that team, and they've, like, consistently performed. But, you know, there is a little bit of concern for me of, like, you look at Giannis, like, he's playing 110% every single night. And mm-hmm. that's a great mentality to have, and he's young, and he has the energy to do that. And obviously, he has, like, the athleticism to do that. But, like, if you're already doing 110% in the regular season, are you going to be able to, like, step that to another level in the playoffs, right? It's not like you've seen a game where Giannis is coasting. Whereas there's quite honestly, a lot of games you're like looking at Kawhi, you're like, yeah, he's playing like 30.
Oh, I'm excited 40%. For what game one of Kawhi looks like, because it's pretty clear that he's got some stuff in the tank that he hasn't shown yet.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of good reasons to be positive about the Raptors. If we think about sort of where they could potentially get tripped up, what would you say the Raptors' Achilles heel is?
I think their Achilles heel is probably if you can take Marc Gasol out of a series on defense.
Okay.
Because he's become so important to their offense.
Right.
You know, he's really just the guy who, you know, Kawhi and Kyle weren't necessarily playing that well together, and he has kind of found a way to fuse their games together in a way mm-hmm. that really makes sense for their offense. Obviously, Serge has been more than capable. The starting lineup with Serge is... You know, I don't remember the numbers anymore, but, you know, they're
decent.
Yeah, they're fine. Like, you know, that's not a bad backup situation to have. And sometimes it'll be the starting situation. But I just think that Gasol is really what powered this team. That trade is what powered this team just through little marginal improvements that they've made into being the team that is this confident, that looks this playoff ready. And, you know, there are a lot of guys that can beat him off the dribble, and he's exceptional positionally, but
mm-hmm.
he's getting older, and when you mine that stuff over and over again in the playoffs, I think I can picture a scenario where, let's say it's the Celtics and it's Kyrie Irving, you know? I don't like that bet for the Raptors.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Celtics is... I mean, the small point guard thing has just hurt the Raptors a couple of times. Even when you go break it down to, like, guys like Ish Smith have, like, really given the Raptors, like, more issues than Ish Smith would pose literally any other team. And I think, in terms of matchups, Kyrie obviously is one that, especially at the point of, because, like, I think what exacerbates that Gasol thing is that they don't really have a really lateral, quick perimeter defender. Like, obviously they have Kawhi, and that's great, but, like, you know, for smaller point guards, you're probably not going to put Kawhi
mm-hmm.
on Kyrie. Maybe you do for select possessions, but, like, that's probably not your first option. And you probably are looking at Danny Green, who is very positionally sound, but, like, his lateral quickness is not entirely there. And then it's, like, Kyle Lowry, who, like, both of them are 30.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I have to say, I think it's time to retire Danny Green on quick point guards.
Yeah, it's not good.
It hasn't gone well this season.
No.
Especially against Kyrie.
Especially against Kyrie. Kyrie's had some killer games against the Raptors. He had like an 18 assist game. Thinking, yeah. And that was really concerning because I've never seen Kyrie play make like that before. But it was just him got in. He got into lane every single time. Mm-hmm. He collapsed and he kicked it to a shooter.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kyrie at his best can just do what he feels like, you know. But I do think that Siakam could be an interesting option against him.
Oh, so you're pulling the John Wall 2.0.
Hey, it worked.
It did work, kind of.
I thought it worked pretty well. I think OG worked pretty well. I mean, you do have to. You have to get it. I think just any guy like Kyrie, you just kind of have to get creative with it. Where you just throw multiple looks multiple different times. And I think we've seen actually the Raptors experiment with that in the regular season against certain matchups. I mean, they're not necessarily come to my head. Harden's actually one where in the fourth, I think that without any subs, they were kind of like, oh, now we're going to go with this guy and this guy. Mm-hmm. That might be one of Nurse's little fun things that he likes to do. But, you know, that could potentially be an option. They obviously have plenty of bodies. Kyrie's going to kill you no matter what at the end of the day.
That's true.
It's just a matter of how you deal with it. And but I am confident in, I mean, who would you have defended Kyrie? Like there's a couple guys in the league that you can think of that maybe, you know, like a Kentavious Caldwell Pope type of guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe he could be an asset, but the Raptors have all the prototypes of the type of defenders that you would want. It's just a matter of figuring out which one, if any, will be the one that works.
Right, because I think, like, ideally, if they could have, like, it's weird to say Pat McCaw, but, like, a guy who's, mm-hmm. like, long and quick. And, like, what makes Kyrie so effective is not only because he can you break it down off the dribble, but, like, if he comes across that screen and he forces your big into a decision, that's what makes him so slippery. But then, like, a guy like McCaw could even go around the screen because he's so skinny. Like, it's so easy for him to get and just mm-hmm. navigate and fight through. But I mean, obviously, you're not going to start Pat McCaw and play him 40 minutes against Kyrie.
Right.
I think, quite honestly, it might. The more I'm thinking about it, it might have to be a guy like Kawhi, where you just use your size as much as possible,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe just try to limit his ball handling a little bit because Kawhi's so good at swiping for the like crossover and stuff. But I mean, I also don't really see Kyrie getting picked that much on the crossover. He's like probably the best ball handler mm-hmm. of all time, maybe him or Allen Iverson. But
well, it's an interesting experiment, though. Like best,
yeah.
Has there ever been anybody better at stealing the ball than Kawhi Leonard?
That's the thing, right? I mean, in terms of on-ball defenders, like, you know, you do have that luxury. But I feel like, especially with the Celtics, like, you know, we're getting a little bit off topic. But, I mean, like, you know, Kyle can guard most of the other wings, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not, like, if Kyle has to guard
I would Marcus love if Jaylen Brown decided to just post up Kyle for this
yeah.
year. Like, it won't go, work. Go yeah. ahead. You know? Do your thing.
Yeah. Jaylen Brown. I mean, like, even Jason Tatum, because you know Jason Tatum is 100% taking that fadeaway.
Yeah.
That Kobe-style fadeaway.
I feel like Tatum would make it, though.
Yeah, last year, playoff Tatum was pretty nice last year, if you're going to be completely honest about it. But I mean, you know, going back to that larger point about, like, you know, taking Gasol out of the game defensively, right? Like, aside from Kyrie, is there anyone else in the East that can really do that?
Well, you know, Embiid used to be a big problem, and I think Gasol, that's probably going to be one of the benefits of the Gasol trade, is that he will find a way to lessen that. Kawhi kicks Ben Simmons' ass all over the floor.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. on both ends.
It's a little bit embarrassing for Ben yeah. Simmons, honestly. Like, a guy who can't really dribble that well versus Kawhi is hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a good situation for him. I'm not sure. You know, I think Victor Oladipo would have been a guy.
That's true.
That, you know, especially in a playoff series, that pull-up jumper, just with the speed at which he gets it off and whether decides whether he's going to keep going or not, like, that would have been a big problem for the Raptors. Kyrie really just sticks out as the one guy. I think Tatum would actually... They have a lot more solutions to Tatum that are a little bit more obvious.
Right.
And then after that, I think it's Giannis.
But even with Giannis, I think, like, you can... keep Gasol on the floor. In fact, you would want Gasol's presence around the basket. Just like a huge body to
yeah,
put
maybe.
In the paint, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think with the way that Giannis plays, you definitely, you know, you definitely see that happening. I think maybe you run into some issues if you put Giannis at the five. But Siakam is probably one of the more well-suited guys to guard Giannis. I think between what I've seen this season, I think him and Al Horford have been two of the best
right.
Giannis defenders. And yeah, I don't know if you put him at the five. I mean, you can mix some stuff around. You just
yeah.
see what happens. But maybe hide Gasol on one of.
That's the thing. The Bucks
like
wings
Nico or something.
Yeah, the thing. The Bucks wings don't play
we'll
make
on,
as much.
Yeah,
so you
can
kind of like it's like it's not like okay yeah if Nikola Mirotic decides to dribble to the basket against Gasol I'm like yeah I think Gasol should be able to handle that like most times right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I see that as an issue. I see that more of an issue, definitely in the finals, because I have no idea what the Raptors do in the finals. If they get that far and they play the Warriors.
Right. Like, that's a championship right there, you know? Like, we don't have to talk about that.
No, we got to hang, like, a conference banner. For and sure. Really celebrate that. Like, like, make, like, rings, like, you know.
Where would the parade be?
I mean, they'll probably bring it down, like, young. Just, like, you know, the line one. You know, we're getting real regional here in Toronto. But, like, yeah, just, like, line one on the subway line.
Okay.
Yeah, just do that. It's probably too long of a parade.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
You go down the harbor, maybe. That'd be fun. You could do it from the practice facility to the arena.
Wow. The true road to the six.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do it from, like, the Hershey Center or...
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, not that.
Blake Murphy would like that, though.
But, man, yeah. Blake's visited, like, every coffee shop near there writing... recaps about Jordan Lloyd. I mean, in terms of, like, the Achilles heel, I also think, like, to me, like, the bench is a bit of an issue. And I think it's more of an issue now because OG, like, he had obviously that concussion and he came back. And he just hasn't looked good at all, right? And so, you know, that's understandable for sure. You miss time and you're concussed. Like, you know, that's not a lot you can do and you lose your rhythm. But, you know, if you don't have that backup four off the bench... And Norm is literally all or nothing. And you got, you know, two guys in Serge and VanVleet who you can rely on for the most part. But I think they still need, like, one or two more guys off that bench to actually give them something. And I'm just not sure OG can do that right now. And so the bench does worry me a bit. Where are you at with the bench?
I can't tell you how little I care about the bench.
Wow, okay.
I'm sorry. Well, this kind of goes back to the thing with last year, right? Like, I mean, somebody will start playing better. They have too many guys, and I think it might even be OG. And if it's going to be OG just coming in and playing spot 4 minutes, yeah, it'll hurt you when he misses some shots. You don't have to play him a lot.
Yeah.
You're going to up the minutes for the starters anyway. I mean, benches don't matter that much in the playoffs. We've seen this time and time again. I think they'll find a rotation. Like, this isn't... Like, the last time I remember a bench being the reason a team lost the playoffs was... I think 2 years ago when the Celtics and the Wizards went 7 games.
Right. The Wizards were mad thin.
Yeah. And this is just not the situation here, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Who were the Wizards bring off the bench that year?
I think, like Satoransky was their best bench player, which now sounds fine.
Yeah, but exactly.
Back then was not really a situation that you wanted to be in.
They're bringing, like, Yama Himni. Were they playing him
still? Oh, yeah, they were. And they were playing... Well, they were bringing him in over Jason Smith, and I remember
that speaks to how bad it was.
In my estimation at the time, I was just thinking this would be a different series if Scotty Brooks was playing Jason Smith instead of Yan Mahimi. Which in the margins it might have been because that was a very close series, but I mean, these are not Raptors' problems, you know? Like, we...
You're right. Masai's done a better job than Ernie, you know, who, you know, got let go finally. I can't believe he finally got let go, but...
Yeah, it was...
Also, that
surprise,
summer...
but not.
That summer, the year before, they were, like, talking about KD to DC, and, like, KD was like, I don't want to play at home, but okay. So he didn't even get a meeting, and then they took all that cap room that they were saving, and they spent it on Otto Porter, Mahimni, and Jason Smith. And I think Nicholson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Andrew Nicholson.
A guy that got money.
He got a lot of money, and then he just left. What is this with Canadians just taking the big contract and then, you know.
Well, we like to make good deals when we're out in D.C., right?
Yeah, that's true.
Hey,
wow. Nice. Okay, fine. Another issue that I could potentially see is Kyle Lowry, who... You know, I mean, look, it's not about Kyle Lowry, like, the playoff stuff, because I think his role is completely different, and he plays I think right now as a passer, his scoring is not as much of an issue, whereas in previous years, it was like, if he's not scoring, it's like, can Damari Carroll light it up? It's like, no, Kyle Lowry just has to score at that point. But, you know, for me, like, I'm looking at it in terms of, like, Kyle hasn't really scored over 20 points in about a month. And if you're looking at just 20-point games, Kyle has 15 of those this year. He had 21 last year and 36 a year before. And so I'm worried. Do you think Kyle Lowry's scoring is a bit of a concern heading to playoffs? Just because, like, you know, in terms of guys who can create a shot, I think the Raptors do look for Kyle to at least, not, like, consistently, but at least for a few possessions, be a threat. And right now, the way I'm looking at it, he's basically only scoring off transition and spot up, and it concerns me a little bit.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that. I think that there's definitely a fear that he might not be able to kick it back into dynamic mode, which is obviously what you need for the playoffs. But at the same time, I do think that a lot of that has been because of the way that the offense has changed in recent months. You know, I think the whole thing kind of operates in sort of a self-fulfilling way that doesn't put the burden on Kyle like it used to. And even earlier in the season, the way it used to, I mean, even if he wasn't scoring, his assist numbers were ridiculous. So, you know, I don't know. It's kind of like a flip the switch sort of situation. I have faith that he'll make intelligent decisions,
mm-hmm.
and that when push comes to shove, that they'll have enough creation. Because the one thing that I think has been underrated this season is the fact that Siakam is kind of becoming a better pick and roll decision maker than Kyle is.
Wow.
And it's been incremental, and maybe it's not necessarily that he's becoming a better decision maker, but it's just he's been being put in the situations while, like you said, Kyle is kind of just playing a little bit more on the margin. So I'm not necessarily that worried about their ability to create, because I think between Kawhi, Gasol, Siakam, whatever, you know, off the dribble moves you can get off from Kyle is probably actually ideal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a situation he's probably better suited to be in than to have the burden of actual offense creation. You know, he is a smaller guy, and we know that, you know, Isaiah Thomas is basically the only small point guard that we've seen really thrive in the playoffs and be better than they are in the regular season. So I think it might actually be one of those things where it makes Kyle look worse, but it speaks to a healthier team dynamic.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because, you know, in previous years, again, like, shot creation was just an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Raptors weren't getting, like, if teams were basically shutting down the pick and roll and, like, forcing the Raptors to play one-on-one, it was like Kyle and DeMar, and both of them, quite honestly, like, even Pascal this year, I feel like Pascal is, like, shot creation versus even DeMar, who was definitely the best shot creator last year. I think, like, Pascal might be even better than DeMar was, especially under, like, tougher defensive attention.
Well, yeah, I think that spin move is just one of those moves where it's a little bit impossible to guard in the regular season.
Right.
We'll see what it looks like in the playoffs. I think the only thing keeping Siakam from being that guy is just having a pull-up three-point shot.
Yeah, he's starting to take those pull-up mid-range shots now. I'm just like, I see where your brain is going, and I'm like, I know what you're doing, yeah. And I really like it.
Yeah.
And if maybe, like, 1 or 2 years down the line you start hitting pull-up threes, then that'd be ridiculous. Yeah, I think I agree. Like, I don't think Kyle's scoring is as big of an issue. I just think that, like, you know, there's going to be a couple of lineups where it's going to be, like, Kyle's going to be, like, the main star with, like, the bench in, like, the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, how productive can you be during that? But, I mean, like, even, like, in previous years when Kyle was that, you know, lead guard with the bench units and stuff, he was still trying to create for other people for the most part. It wasn't necessarily his own scoring to kind of create it. And it's kind of weird to get to a point where Kyle's scoring is kind of like gravy, just because you can expect Danny Green to hit wide open threes. You can expect Pascal Siakam to create, like, you know, 18 points a game, basically. Kawhi's going to give you 30. And Marcus Gasol's going to give you some offense as well. And so at that point, it's, you know, Kyle's scoring is kind of gravy.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. What an improvement.
Look at me being the optimistic one.
Yeah. I was, you know? What an improvement the Raptors have made, where Kyle Lowry's scoring is just like, yeah, whatever. Who cares? Yeah, and you know, I think that really does speak to the fact that Masai's done a really good job, you know, with this team. Masai and Bobby Webster as well, because I think Bobby deserves a lot of credit for that Kawhi deal, especially. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, the media doesn't vote on executive of the year, that's voted by the peers, but what's Masai's case? Do you feel like Masai should be a leading candidate for executive of the year this year?
I think Masai has an excellent case. I think, like, we talked about it a little bit earlier in the podcast. And I think he's been empowered by MLSC. I think he feels pretty secure in his position. But he's willing to take a lot of risks.
Mm.
And that's, I think that is, you know, sometimes not a great move for GM. But I think for Masai in this organization in particular, you know, you see a lot of teams make risky moves when they're trying to save their jobs. Masai could have kept this thing rolling forever and just comfortably had this position.
Yep.
And he actually took a risk that, you know, I don't think it adversely impacts his job security too much unless something unprecedented were to happen.
Right.
But he didn't have to do it, you know?
Yeah, he really didn't. I mean, it would have been weird if they didn't, and they're just like, you know, we're going to try it one more time. We had a 3-year window. We're just going to stick to that 3-year window. But, you know, he showed a lot of ambition. And I think, especially for executive of the year, like, it's not necessarily always about what you did that previous summer, because so much of team building is like a long-term thing. And if you look at where Masai was as compared to other GMs, like a lot of teams have been in this place where you got like one or two star players. Mm-hmm. You're good enough to make the playoffs. You go to the playoffs. You're not good enough to win the title. You're not good enough to beat the truly elite players, but you're there and you're at a reasonably successful club. And it's like, how do you go from that point to then keep advancing your club? And I think you look at the things that Masai has done around the margins, like when you trade a Gravis Vasquez for, you know, two draft picks that become Norman Powell and OG Anunoby, which, you know, like, you know, they're not like world beaters by any means, but like still those are productive bench pieces that you got on minimum deals. And then you get a guy like Pascal Siakam, 27th in the NBA draft, like, and you know, even a guy like Jakob Poeltl, who they eventually flipped in a deal for Kawhi. Like,
I mean, Jakob Poeltl equaled Danny Green. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Like these marginal moves, right? Like you get Danny Green as a throw-in.
Yep.
A salary dump. He ends up being the role player of the year.
Why did the Spurs salary dump Danny Green?
I don't know.
Like, what was wrong with Danny Green? Like, I know he wasn't having like the best season, but
I mean,
what other options do they have?
I mean, honestly, I think it's easy to have a little bit of hindsight bias. If we looked at the year that Danny had before, he was injured. He's on the wrong side of 30.
Mm.
And I think that the Spurs kind of always saw him as the Danny Green who came in and, you know, needed direction and wasn't able to pull himself together to be a serious NBA player, even though he had grown so much in that system. And wow. You can kind of you see that bear itself out now. But, you know, it's kind of like,
we're the Spurs. We can just bring in any shooting guard.
Exactly,
and
right?
It's true, though. Exactly. It is true. I mean, like, Derek White wouldn't probably break out this year without Danny being there. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you undervalue your own ability to develop people.
Wow. You know, some critics of the Raptors say that right now about,
well, I think sometimes they overvalue it, too.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think, like, if you compare Masai's case to, like, who are they even the other candidates for Executive of the Year this year?
I mean, I think Sean Marks deserves a lot of credit.
Okay.
I think that's one of those awards that's been building up for a while.
Yeah.
And that, like, you want to talk about guys who are thriving when, you know, nobody else would have predicted them to. That entire team, you know, Joe Harris, Spencer Dinwiddie, D'Angelo Russell,
Jared Allen.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, Jared Allen, he's, you know, he's first round pick.
Yeah.
But still overperforming expectations.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, is now clearly primed to be one of the best centers in this draft. And, you know, you can go down the entire roster with them. Mm-hmm, yeah. I was just down there, so I think I'm just like looking at it through rose colored glass a little bit. But I'm very impressed with their player development. They do a lot of little things that, I think, you know, teams are going to start copying them. And you can read about that on Friday.
Oh, nice, nice. That's called synergy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that's Sean Marks is, and that's one of those things where it's like, it's not about what he did in the offseason, right? It's not like, what kind of moves did he even make in the offseason? I'm not quite sure. But they did assign Dinwiddie to that pretty reasonable team-friendly extension. Mm-hmm. Dinwiddie's pretty good, especially on that contract. I'm looking around the rest of the league, like, there's not a very obvious candidate. Like, the Clippers executive staff, which I guess is, like, Jerry West and Lawrence Frank and, Winger. I guess, Michael Winger. Yeah, it's, like, they did a decent job. Like, you know, like, it's incomplete. Like, if they go and actually get the free agents they want this summer, like, okay, then at that point, you're, like, 100% that team, right? But right now,
but then you would give it to them next year, right?
Exactly, right. Yeah. Right now, it's just, like, okay, cool. They made a decent Tobias Harris trade to get some future assets, but, like, you know, aside from that, like, what else have they really done? And then it's, like, John Horst for signing Brook Lopez, which, like,
I don't think that the Bucks management deserves the credit that it's getting. I think this is, I'm not giving a team credit for trading all of its future assets for getting marginal role players so they can get the one seed 1 year when they have Giannis locked up forever.
Mm.
Like, play the long game, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it looks great right now. What, like,
they traded a first round pick for George Hill.
Like, yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, what do you do? Like, all of this stuff looks fine right now, but you know what happens 4 years down the road when the Bucks still don't have a championship and all of a sudden they can't replenish any of their talent? You know,
that's a good point.
Like, you have a gift right now with Giannis, and you know, I think they've made a bunch of other good moves. You know, Brogdon is fantastic.
Yeah,
and you know, he's somebody that you found, you know, just in the margins in the second round. Middleton, another second rounder.
Right.
Giannis, 16th? I can't remember. Like 13th, I feel like I should know that one off the top of my head. But again, not not a lottery pick. You know, definitely not like a number one guy. Now he's I think it's safe to say he's going to be the best player in the league if he isn't already. So I think their drafting has been awesome. Their free agency moves, I'm not that impressed by.
Like, they got guys that fit the system.
They did.
But it's like...
You also added Mike Budenholzer, who is going to make a lot of these guys look a lot better. So I think they've made good moves, but I think they've made a lot of moves that I think have kind of worked out this year that you're going to look back at in a couple of years and be like, I don't know about that one.
It's like the Clippers, you know, the Clippers got to the point where they were like, oh, we're just going to add in a couple more talent pieces. And it's like,
Well, just take one step back, you know, take one step back and allow this thing to develop a little bit more organically to make a little more sense. Because right now, I think you got Giannis and a bunch of guys who look like they could be number two. And we know that what that usually spells for a team.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, are you prepared for Giannis to be the face of the league?
Hell yeah.
You think that'll work? Because I'm worried. Because I'm personally, as a fan of the NBA, I'm worried about, like, LeBron. Like, this year, he's already taken such a huge hit in terms of his reputation. Like, he'll get on. Obviously, people are still going to watch him next year and stuff. But, like, he'll be, like, 35-ish, right? Mm-hmm. Like, once LeBron fades in, like, 2-3 years from, like, that top spot and, like, the top draw, like, who is that next guy? Because it's like, Steph is kind of, like, a little bit past it. We did the whole Steph thing for, like, a year and a half. And it was, like, whatever. 2016 finals had ended. No one likes KD at all. Mm-hmm. And Zion's probably a little bit too young. So it's like it's probably got to be Giannis.
Giannis is the evolution of the international NBA.
Okay.
He is basically its culmination.
Do you feel like Americans are going to buy into that though?
They already are because he's like the perfect immigrant.
Wow.
Like, if we want to get political with this, he's just this guy who came in. He's like, I love this opportunity I got. He never talks about politics. Maybe he'll start as he kind of, you know, I think younger players just kind of shy away from it a little bit too. And he's probably trying to get. So sure. I don't know what he thinks about any of that stuff, but he hasn't talked about it. He loves smoothies. He's like, oh my God, my girlfriend gave me a blowjob. It's amazing. Yep. And no, like, nobody even imagine any other NBA player doing that. He just gets away with things because he's just like, he's kind of just adorable, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he hits like an amazing shot in the fourth quarter and he tries to make a stank face and you're like, oh my God, Giannis, you're like the 7-foot baby. I think he has just so much appeal. He plays with so much joy and it reminds me of Steph Curry in a lot of ways. And, you know, he's just, there's something that anybody can relate to. Like, if you had it hard growing up, if you grew up, you know, if you were a refugee, if you're an immigrant, you know, if you're just like, I mean, anybody, like young kids, like, are probably, I don't know how young kids feel about him, but they're probably like very enthused, you know?
For sure.
I think there's a lot of mass appeal.
Yeah. I mean, from that perspective, I think it does work. I don't know. I just feel like, you know, like there's never been like an international face of the NBA, right? Like, so I think that's, you know what I mean? It's always been Americans. It's like, and it, like, America's always produced like spectacular number one talents and things like that. But Giannis is very captivating. Like, I relate to Giannis. I think his story is like incredible. Mm-hmm. And he's told it a couple of times, but I feel like it's one of those things that deserves like its own like series of like, you know, ESPN like interviews and things like this where it's like just like blown up out of proportion. But I don't know. There's still a bit of part of me that I'm just like, can I see Giannis as, like, the number one guy? Because, like, you know, like...
Get ready.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. What else do I have on this list? Oh, yeah. Speaking of Masai, though. So, I think Masai's gotten himself a good situation where it's, like, you know, this team is, you know, primed to go deep into the playoffs and hopefully to the finals and, you know, whatever happens there. if we do look ahead, though, what would you do in the offseason? Because the Raptors are in this weird spot, right? Because they already have $135 million this year. I think this would be the first year the team is paying luxury tax, which, I mean, it's deserved. If you have this much talent, you should just pay the luxury tax. But heading into the offseason, you have $110 million on the books. That's without accounting for Kawhi or Danny Green. And it's assuming that Marc Gasol picks up his player option, which I think he probably will. It's $26 million. But, yeah, what do you do with if Kawhi wants to come back, then are you looking at Danny Green thinking like, man, I can't really pay market rate for Danny Green? But then Danny Green's so important to the team as well. So Kawhi does come back, this will be a very, I don't know, just jumbled and confusing summer.
I think it will be. I'm gonna be honest, I haven't given this too much thought.
Okay,
so whatever your takes are, we can go with.
I mean, I think, here's the thing. It's almost easier if Kawhi left, right? And obviously, it's not good that Kawhi leaves, right? It's definitely Kawhi stay, please. But
that's that was the logic behind the thing, right? It's a very clean rebuild once he...
Exactly, right? If Kawhi left and then, Marc Gasol picked up his player option, then, Gasol becomes a trade asset in an expiring year. Serge is a trade asset. Kyle Lowry is a trade asset. And you just move those pieces and they're all expirings and veterans and it's clean. And you got Pascal... You got some other prospects here, and then you just kind of go with it from there. But when you bring everyone back, I mean, I think number one is they probably have to talk Gasol into a restructured deal where it's three years, we'll give you $45 million, and you get some long term security, and it lowers the cap it a little bit. And then they probably have to do a similar thing with Danny Green, to be honest. And if I were Danny, I'd probably just take the biggest deal.
Yeah, I think you're just not keeping Danny.
That'd be so unfortunate.
It sucks, but I just don't think you are.
But if they don't keep Danny, then what are you doing as shooting guard?
I don't know, but you're probably you can't really promote Norm. Years to him, though.
Yeah. Would you rather have Norman Powell for the next 3 years or Danny Green for the next 3 years? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's also Jody Meeks. Don't forget about Jody.
It's true.
Sharp shooting Jody Meeks.
No, I mean, I think that you start to look at other free agency options and see what's out there maybe. And maybe you look at what you can flip Serge and something else for as well. I think he definitely becomes a...
Yeah, Serge could be a nice trade asset, actually. Mm-hmm. You mentioned maybe you flip Serge into a decent shooting guard and you manage it from there. But
well, I think the thing that will happen if Kawhi stays is, well, there's a lot of ifs that happen before Kawhi stays, right? Number one is probably making the finals.
Yeah,
you've already got Toronto being considered on the come up as a city, and all of a sudden now you're a championship caliber team, and you have this star who's incredibly low maintenance as well. You're a destination now.
Yeah.
So I think that allows you to make some moves that you probably weren't able to make before as well.
That is true.
Which is why I don't think that as much as Danny deserves it, you probably can't spend your cap space on him. My apologies to Yahoo Sports Canada.
Yeah. Danny, please. Please. Just take a 1 year deal. Let's take a...
Yeah.
Take
yeah,
a, please. Take a 1 year. Take a 1 year, please. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you.
I think this is probably his last big contract too, right?
That's why I think he should take the money. Plus, he's had such a good year. He deserves, to get a huge deal. And I'm sure there's one out there waiting for
him.
And
he can come back and, do media forever.
Yeah. For Yahoo Sports Canada.
Of course.
And other places.
Mm-hmm. But mostly Yahoo Sports Canada.
Yes. And Yahoo Sports.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be on the bounce.
Sports. Yeah, for sure.
He'd be great on the bounce.
Maybe me and him could do a podcast.
Yeah.
Pitch it to him. All right. See what's up.
You just claimed him already?
Well, yeah. I mean, early right. bird.
We're going to take a quick break to discuss who's going to have a podcast with Danny Green from now on. But when we come back, we'll take some Twitter questions. Welcome back to the Raptors Recap. Still here with Sirit. We are going to take some Twitter questions. First one comes from my guy, Joshua. Which of the guys that the Raptors have had on the roster at one point this season do you wish they still had heading into the playoffs? So you listen for us. JV, CJ, DeLon, Greg Monroe, Richardson. Eric Moreland's already been re-signed, and I guess he's just going to be insurance. But any of those guys interest you in terms of a playoff run?
I mean, DeLon Wright getting these triple-doubles out here.
Oh, yeah, 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 that's right.
And also being... Yeah, do we get, like...
Those are definitely not Michael Carter-Williams triple-doubles, by the way. Those are real, authentic triple... He's Russell Westbrook now, guys. I can't believe the Raptors gave up on him. I'm seriously, there are people on Twitter that are just super unreasonable about everything.
Yeah. I mean, I think that when you factor in the fact that after Fred, you kind of worry a little bit about point guard, and then just the size that he has. We just talked about guys that could potentially guard Kyrie Irving. I think DeLon Wright would be a perfect name to throw into that mix. He's long, he's fast, you know, he's got good instinct.
He had good playoffs last year, I think.
He did. He's a playoff type player, you know?
Wow. Yeah, I agree. I think that's honestly the one guy. Because, like, JV would be obvious. I think JV's the best player out of this group.
Right, but he's just a little bit redundant.
Yeah, and you have, like, there's no, where would you find minutes for JV when Gasol and Ibaka are both here, right? So, yeah, I would say DeLon as well. But let's extend this game to this entire 2014 run. Mm. You could pick any of the former Raptors from the last five playoff runs to join the team. Not DeMar. Let's say not.
Okay, DeMar. I was gonna say
because that's a little bit unfair. But any of the supporting players.
Oh, okay. Let me think. Who are the best?
I would take 20. Really?
Yeah, I mean, DeMar is. He kind of would have fit perfectly with the last 2 years' teams.
What about PJ Tucker?
Like, do we really have to do the PJ Tucker LeBron please stop meme?
Okay.
In real life,
LeBron's not here anymore. That's just Giannis. It was just replacing with
just
Giannis.
Yeah. It's just Giannis. No big deal.
Okay, look. PJ did a decent job on Giannis. Giannis only had like 25 points a game on like 60% shooting. Yeah.
Yeah. Giannis was a little bit smaller then, too.
How's he... Okay, when's he going to stop growing?
I don't know. I mean, that's a big question, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's done quite yet either. And
that's terrifying.
I don't know if he wants to put on more weight. Maybe he does. That's like, you know, that's between him and his sports scientist. But yeah, I just, it's scary. It's scary. The ceiling is terrifying on so many levels with Giannis.
Mm. Oh yeah, former player? No. I feel like Patrick Patterson, maybe 2014
he's just,
Pat.
But yeah, but he's I'm just good dropped on that. Off so much.
Yeah.
In Oklahoma.
It's actually
so wait, are we going
watch.
With the versions of themselves that were on the Raptors?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Not the current versions.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Cross out DeMar then.
Yeah, cross out DeMar. Cross out Pat. I can't believe I'm inside Pat.
Well, I think Pat would be interesting given the fact that he wouldn't be really asked to do too much. And it, like Kyle, it would be gravy, but in a different sort of way.
The only beef I had with Pat was just like playoff-wise, Patrick Patterson, just like there's such a drop-off.
There was, yeah.
Yeah.
I would maybe Terrence? Interesting.
Kind of. Would you rather have Terrence or Norm over the next 3 years? This is just a Norman Powell / Giannis Antetokounmpo episode.
I would probably take Terrence.
Yeah. I think it's easier for Terrence to get a shot than it is for Norm to get a shot. But Norm is way better going to the
summer.
And it will be a mistake for which team assigns him to a huge contract. So I just don't think he's like a starting caliber guy.
Hmm.
But he's already getting paid close to that, you know?
Yeah.
But he's a really good shooter. Yeah, I don't know. I think the roster's pretty good. So
just kind of like, I mean, you can add these guys. They're all kind of like, the Raptors, when they give up on these guys, they usually replace them with a version that's slightly upgraded. So it's kind of hard to
go backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd still be DeLon, I think.
It probably is still DeLon. Yeah. I think for me, like DeLon and PJ, those two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And PJ's gotten a lot better too, I think, too.
He has.
Okay, next one from Nick. Gasol has established himself as the starter recently, but I'm sure there are some playoff matchups where Serge will be the guy who should play more minutes. So which teams do you think that applies to and why?
That's nice of Nick to call in and ask a question.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that. I mean, just thought he'd be too busy right now, but...
Okay.
You know. Anyway, I think that was a Nick Nurse joke.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I was going to say, good. That's good.
Thank you.
I'm going to erase that from the podcast. I'm just going to say, oh, great joke. All right, go on.
Well, okay, let's... You want him start... You want Gasol starting against Embiid, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the Nets, you probably bring Gasol off the bench. Jared Allen's a little bit more, you know.
I'm honestly.
Do you need to expend Martin Gasol in that series? I guess, you know, just like a lot of younger, quicker, you know, a lot of guards that can that come off of pick and rolls and like to play off the dribble.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think the Nets are good enough that I'm changing my starting lineup. So I might just keep Mark for that.
Fair enough. Yeah, just maybe let him get some reps against like Kyrie Light, I guess.
Yeah, like super super light. Like, yeah.
I think the Celtics are an obvious one.
Yeah, that one you probably got to run with Serge. I think Serge is like quickness wise is a better option against Al Horford.
Yeah, yeah. I think in both guarding the pick and roll and just guarding Horford one-on-one. Horford, who, by the way, is secretly one of the best isolation scorers in the league. Just super
weird
to think about. But
yeah, he kind of bullied Kevin Love last year.
He did.
Yeah. And Love is pretty strong. Like he's a solid 6'10 guy.
He was definitely beating up CJ Miles.
Man. Yeah, CJ Miles didn't get a lot of consideration for which guy you would bring back for the playoff run.
I think as a person, though.
As a broadcaster? And 100%.
Just, like, nice human being, got to have in the locker room, got to chat with. Like, 100% would be CJ.
Yeah. Who is it that the Celtics have? RJ Hunter has decided to, he's just going to pay his own way and just be with the team, even though he's not on the team.
What?
For the Celtics playoff run. Yeah, it's super adorable.
That is so cute.
Yeah. That's like,
I mean, if there's one locker you want to hitch yourself to.
Yeah. You're just sitting there like with popcorn, like I don't need Shams to tell me what's going on. I'm just here to see it firsthand.
Well, maybe that's his secret move. Maybe he's gonna write a book.
That'd be a good book. I would actually. I mean, as much as I'd like to sign at the Celtics, like I would very much like to know what happened this season.
Right, RJ, if you want a ghostwriter, hit either of us up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'll be too busy doing the Danny Potts. I guess I'll take that.
Sure. I mean, I can handle it.
Wow.
I can
handle it.
Yeah.
Next one from P. Kelly.
Is there any more work I can take off your table? Just like make you
just take 10 things, you know, take the whatever else I'm doing. Aside from making the finals or winning a championship this season, what are the most ideal outcomes for this team in the playoffs? For me, it'd be finally shedding our playoff reputation, whatever that entails. I think that actually would be great if the Raptors can just have one normal playoff run and regardless of the result, just actually feel confident and proud of how the team went. I think it just helped the psyche of the franchise a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really all you can ask for, because that will probably lend itself to a good result as well.
Wow. Feeling confident is our championship. Oh. I think that's...
Oh, God, that just speaks to the city so well. Like, it just hurt. That hurt.
It's true. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, no, it hurt because you're right. Ouch.
Yeah. No, I would like to... Honestly, like, just at the end of the playoff run... Like 2016, a little bit, because like fans were like clapping and like LeBron was like, "Oh, Doris, look at the Toronto crowd here. This is amazing, right?" But like the Raptors lost that game by like 50 points.
Yeah, him and his favorite reporter just like, "Oh, this team, they're so cute. They're just."
It's like, look at them. I smacked them. They're clapping for me. It's great.
They're like a couple sending good dog pictures to each other. Essentially,
yeah.
It's like, oh,
yeah.
See.
I honestly really dislike LeBron. I dislike LeBron after all these runs, and like I hate that I do, because LeBron seems like such a great guy otherwise. But it's just, I don't know what else you can feel about that. But yeah, I mean, feeling good about the Raptors would be a championship. That's where I'm sticking with that one. Next one from Marcos. Can we get some Paul Pierce slander, or is he doing a good job on his own? First off, he's doing a great job on his
own
for no reason. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that like the meme that's like nobody. Colon, and then Paul Pierce will say something like, that's Paul Pierce. That's
really
he's the
is.
Nobody meme.
It really is. I mean, I don't know what we expected from Paul Pierce, though, because if there's one thing that was very true to his career, it was an overinflated understanding of where he stands vis-a-vis other superstars.
Do you feel like that's because he was in Boston for so long and Boston really pumps their players?
Probably on some level. I think there's some of that is just inner irrational confidence, which probably did allow him in certain moments to be better than those stars. And then those moments and probably inflate him even more, because he's like, hey, look, LeBron, I did this, I did that. Like, so it's like, you know, you can tell that he doesn't have inappropriate respect for the guys who were slightly younger than him that ended up actually whooping his ass and were clearly better players than him.
Yeah. I mean, like, Dwayne Wade, like, in that finals, I mean, whatever you want to think about the officiating, like, he was like Jordan-esque in that 2006 finals. And he was like in his third or fourth year. Like, Paul Pierce never even got close to that level. Like, Paul Pierce is, he's really just like.
He wasn't even the best player on the championship team.
No, he's not. He's like Joe Johnson with a headband. Like, he's like
I'm let's bring back those like Paul Pierce is this person with this memes right now. Yeah, those were the best.
No, but like, I mean, Paul Pierce was nice, but like, you know, like, I mean, like,
was he nice?
His honestly, I mean, his playoff record without KG was like DeMar level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked watching Paul Pierce a lot. I mean, you know,
he kicked Chris Bosh in the groin once on a dunk.
Well, and he kicked the Raptors in the groin a couple times too. So.
Yeah, that's the thing. As a Raptors fan, like, I don't feel 100% confident in slandering Paul Pierce.
Right.
Having said that, what did Masai say about Paul Pierce? We don't give a shit about it. And then they got swept.
Yeah.
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 That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Paul, I mean, look, Paul Pierce is not better than Dwayne Wade. That was ridiculous.
No. I mean, the other one that happened right before that was when Paul was like, well, if the game is on the line, who are you giving the ball to, me or Klay Thompson? And, like, a silence falls over the room, you know? Like, you're just like, oh, I don't know.
I mean, honestly, if it's, like, creating a shot, I'm like, okay, maybe I'll give it
even
to Paul Pierce.
Still.
What? Okay, Paul Pierce with that, like, mid-range, like, the step back from, like, that elbow area, he was deadly with that.
He was, but Klay's got some game, though. I mean, he's got a great post game. He doesn't really need a lot to create his shot, you know?
That is true. I mean, I would think about it, but if it was, like, just dribbling at the defense for some reason, I would probably pick Paul for that. But, I mean, otherwise, no.
Yeah, otherwise, I think Klay's just an underrated ball handler because he dribbles like a Republican.
100%. Him and TJ McConnell have the same dribble dribble moves. All right. Next one from Jason. Could Kyle Lowry's jersey go up before DeMar's?
Oh, he's going to retire first, so, yeah. I'm sorry, that wasn't a very exciting answer.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. I'd like to see Kyle and DeMar team up again sometime down the future.
That'd be nice.
It'd be really adorable.
Yeah.
It'd be like LeBron and D-Wade last year.
I mean, if Masai ever leaves, DeMar could return.
Wow. Yeah, I'm good. I'd rather have Masai.
Yeah, I'm just saying in the possibility that it happens. I mean, because DeMar is still, like, he's going to be around for a while. And
I'd like to see Masai and DeMar eventually reconcile. They're two very important. Like, I don't think it's like they'll do it now. It'd be like many years down the road, but they're both two such important franchise figures that I don't want to see them clash for any reason, you know? Next one from Toronto Raptors BR. I think that's for Brazil. What do you think about Raptors fans and its growth along the years? Like, you know, him from personally, he's a Brazilian Raptors fan account, so I guess it's sort of expanded a lot. And I think, you know, in terms of just like cultivating the international fan base, you know, being the only team that's not in the United States, like, I think the Raptors have always done a good job of sort of at least acquiring international type players, especially during Brian Colangelo's era when he brought like every European basketball player over possible. Mm-hmm. But I think even over the last couple of years under Masai, like, there's really been a focus to sort of, you know, not just focus on American talent, but look in every corner of the globe. And you get a guy like Bruno even, right? Yeah. Which, like, I mean, where do they find Bruno? But I think the Raptors done a really good job of building an international brand. I just hope that, it pops. Because at least for me, like, I see a lot of, like, Chinese fans, stuff like that. Like, they're just bandwagon fans. Like, they'll follow whoever's hot. And, like, Raptors have never been, like, Warriors level hot or, like, Heat level hot to actually draw fans. But hopefully they kind of recognize what the Raptors have always, you know, prioritized.
Yeah. I mean, I think these playoffs maybe are the ones that could help them kind of explode onto the scene that way. Because it does take an inciting moment.
Yeah.
Jeremy Lin is on the team.
You know? Yeah. That's 2 billion fans right there.
Right. So, I mean, there's definitely the ingredients are there. You just kind of need a little bit of luck and for a couple of things to go the right way. I mean, the best sort of marketing explosions are usually a result of that. And, you know, I think the Raptors, like, under Masai have kind of finally done it the right way. You know, Brian Colangelo is like, hey, this guy's international. Yeah. We'll bring him on. But, like, he's the guy that everybody knows about. Whereas, you know, now the scouting is just so rigorous that it's only natural to mine from the places that don't have a lot of attention, and a lot of those places happen to be not in the United States.
Yeah, because it's already saturated. Every scout is basically in the States anyway. I was thinking about it. Over the last calendar year, the Raptors have had like a player from every single continent outside of like Antarctica. I don't know, who knows? Maybe there's some Bigfoot out there.
Yeah, like, that's where the scouts need to start going. That was the rest
Bigfoot,
of the
like, it's over. It's over for Giannis if we find Bigfoot, man. It'll be like the snowball bomb, basically.
That would be so on Brad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And only when Masai would find that out, you know, just on a trip to Patagonia, and he goes too south, and he's like, oh, there's a 7-footer right here. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, like, they've had, like, Pascal and Serge. They've had Jeremy. You know, they have Gasol now. They had JV. You know, even, like, you know, they've had Gravis Vasquez for the last couple of years, and, you know, Bebe and Bruno. Mm-hmm. Like, they've gone everywhere to look OG. For talent. OG, exactly, right? Mm-hmm. They've gone everywhere to look for talent. And I think that's a good team building approach. And then last question. There's two more questions. This one from Jeremy. Who's the biggest X factor off the bench for the Raptors in the playoffs?
It's hard to say when we don't, like, it's like who's coming off the bench, right?
Okay, let's take out Serge or Gasol. Okay. Those guys are as X factors, like they're reliable veterans.
Yeah. I'd say probably OG.
OG?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think he's had a tough year for very justifiable reasons. And, you know, I think maybe kind of having some time and remove and considering the playoffs the second season could hopefully allow him to kind of reset. And and maybe just getting into the rhythm of, like, an actual series where, you know, I think as much as things get crazy in the playoffs, they also calm down in ways that benefit a lot of different types of players.
Especially guys like OG, who are just like, if... Like, he's had a lot of issues this year where he's trying to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in the playoffs, you're like, forget trying to do too much. I'm just going to stick to my game. Yeah. And, you know.
And allows you to settle into a series a little bit, too. And he just, he doesn't seem like somebody who would shy away from the moment.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm going to pick Norm just for nostalgia. But, yeah, I don't know. Expecting anything out of Norm is
Storm and Norman.
Yeah, it's just never wise. Although every year, though, there is the Norman Powell is the X factor. Every year for like the last like 3 years.
I mean, I think you're a little pessimistic on Norm. He's had some really strong performances this year.
He has, and he just had a great one against the Heat. But I don't know. He's just so inconsistent. It's just weird to count on him.
And he's broken your heart before, and you're not ready to
let
him back in yet. And
yeah,
he'll work on that.
Yeah. All right. Last one from Chris. Is Nurse saving his end-of-game plays for games that matter? A.K.A., does Nick Nurse have a playoff switch? We've talked about Kawhi having a playoff switch. What about that Nick Nurse playoff switch?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's definitely a little bit too conservative in those moments, for sure. Especially, like, you've seen some games where it's a tie, and I get it. You don't want to turn the ball over, and you have a really strong isolation player in Kawhi Leonard who can just is so steady and on balance that he can always get a shot. Like, you're not too worried about things flaming out, and then you kind of leave it up to like the 45-55 versus 55% chance of it going in. I understand that. If you're down, no.
Yeah, come up with a good play, please. Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I could see him saving some stuff, for sure. I mean, I definitely think he's got some stuff up his sleeve.
Yeah, I think people have, like, unrealistic expectations. When you hear a coach say, like, I'm saving stuff, it's not like he's going to run this, like, crazy play that they never tried before. Because, like, especially during important moments, like, you got to practice those things. You need game reps, right? It's probably just, like, as Nurse has said, like, you have certain things you want to get into, and how you disguise what the play is before that play actually unveils is probably honestly what he's hiding. So I don't really think there's going to be a super next level to what the Raptors are playing offensively. And, like, I don't think they need to either. Like, the offense runs pretty well. So I think that does it for the podcast. Sirit, thanks so much for coming on. What do you want to plug in terms of your upcoming stories, you know, where people can find you and your work and stuff?
You can find my work on Yahoo Sports. Where you can also find this podcast.
Yes.
And I will have my Taking Five column.
Which is great. You should read that every week. It's Fridays?
Thursdays. Sometimes Fridays.
Yeah.
There's immigration issues, and I can't write when I'm in the United States, so sometimes it's Fridays.
Okay.
It will be on this Thursday, and I'll have a Raptors preview.
Nice.
And I will also have a piece on the Nets, which will be somewhat of a preview. I think all of anything written right now is tailored towards the playoffs.
Okay, cool. So we look for that on Yahoo Sports, and follow Sirit on Twitter. Is it still
Sirit Sophie?
Oh, you changed it away from
We leveled up.
Wow, it's more professional. Rest in peace, Damian Trillard.
Pour one out.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening to Rap Absorb Everything. I said on the previous podcast that we should get to 200 ratings, and we have done that. So I thought it would take until the end of the month. So maybe I got to set the bar higher at 300 or something. But please, please keep rating, reviewing on iTunes. And a huge thank you to everyone who's supported the show so far. And I'll be back next week with another episode of the Raptors Recap.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.